Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go Forward. I'm your host, Paul Gann, alongside Jeremy Esmian. For the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, you will get a heavy dose of our opinion. And if you have an opinion, the number to call is 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgann. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgann, and you can also send email messages to the show at goforit.gann@gmail.com. That's goforit.gann@gmail.com. Jeremy?
Paul.
How are you?
What's doing? I'm just sitting here in a cup of coffee after a long night of preseason football.
Fair enough. And then today we'll talk a little preseason, and also we will be joined by former Chiefs lineman and also former Fox Sports analyst and also a contributor to 610 Sports in Kansas City, Bill Moss, who will talk about some of the news and notes in the NFL, kind of get his lowdown on what's going on with the Chiefs and what's going on in, with football in general. And also we will conclude Ultimate Merger Week with C.J. Miller, who will stop on by and talk about the goings-on with that show and what's going on with him now. But let's go back. Let's go to football last night. Kevin Cobb and Donovan McNabb. If you were in the Philadelphia era, you had Cobb on your local TV, and then you had McNabb on the NFL Network. And so last night, and also if you had the NFL Network, you could have saw both games. You could have saw the Eagles game on tape, and obviously you would have saw the Redskins game live. But let's start with Kevin Cobb last night. He seemed effective, led the Eagles on two scoring drives, both field goals actually, but there was a pass actually where he had Brett Celek in the end zone, which he dropped. But a efficient, decent number, 6-for-11, 95 yards, showed confidence, showed poise, and it's still early in the preseason, but I think Kevin Cobb, right now, it's still early to say he is going up against vanilla defenses right now, but so far Kevin Cobb looked pretty good last night. And also, Mike Vick last night, he looked great. His speed is back. The Mike Vick of old is back. It seems like he's regained that speed. You look at him last year, it seemed like he lost a step, but he's gotten that speed back. He ran in for a touchdown, had two turnovers, but he did look like he was regaining some of his old self, and had a nice, beautiful pass to impressive rookie Riley Cooper.
But you're really high on Vic, and I you glazed over the two turnovers. He looked great, and he was fast, but and you said even before the show that the turnovers were a factor of rust. But let's not forget old Michael Vick, who the turnovers were what killed him and killed the Atlanta Falcons as a team, and he had two of them last night. One was another fumble, and the interception where I thought that the broadcasters really tried to, give Michael Vick a pass and say that it was the receiver's fault. I mean, I think if anything, that's a factor of Vick in the new Andy Reid offense, where I'm sure Morningweg and Andy Reid are in his ear telling him, as they used to tell Donovan McNabb, do not run past the line of scrimmage, scramble out and throw the ball because the pass was horrible.
Well, did you see? I understand what you're saying, but I'm more concerned about him regaining that speed and him looking like sort of the Michael Vick of old. And I saw a glimpse of what I used to see in Atlanta with Michael Vick.
Oh no, he looked sharp. I will say this, Paul, and it was game one, preseason game one at that. But if you're going to make the comparison now between like Cobb and him, who had a better first game, I told you that the turnovers are what killed him as a quarterback in the real NFL, but I can honestly tell you, you know, he certainly, he looked, playing with mainly second unit guys, he looked, like you said, like he was back. Cobb looked good, and, you know, and there was a drop pass in the end, and it should have been a touchdown. But it was not a good team. It was a vanilla defense.
I said that, you know, you're right. I mean, again, it's preseason.
But I think, Vic, I think if you're the Eagles, you know, for $5 million to hold on to Vic for this year in that offense, if there's a problem with Kevin Cobb, I think if you're Andy Reid, you maybe want to tell him, instead of telling him to pass, especially on that one interception, he should have ran that ball. I mean, that was, in my opinion, you know, he is not going to ever beat Donovan McNabb. They have to really, you know, the Eagles have to realize where Vic is at his best is when he is scrambling out of the pocket and then taking off, especially with those legs.
Well, and also you have to think about this. I mean, granted, he's not Donovan McNabb, but Michael Vick had a pretty darn good career in terms of leading his team to the NFC Championship game once and also leading them to the divisional round. So he led them to the playoffs two times. Actually, both times he lost to the Eagles, one to the championship game and the other in the conference in the divisional playoff round. So he's definitely not Donovan McNabb, but he's a talent. And I remember we had Beasley Reese on the show, and Beasley Reese talked about how much his teammates love him and talked about his arm strength and how one of the coaches told him that Michael Vick's arm was the best in camp, and that was when Donovan was in camp at the time.
Yeah.
That was last year. So this is a guy who definitely has tools. Now, did he learn the lessons of before where he was a guy who was last to come in and first to leave? Did he learn those lessons? Only time will tell. And hopefully, if you're Michael Vick, you've gotten those things straightened out a little bit. But again, I saw something there that makes me believe that Michael Vick may be on his way back. And I want to move on to Donovan now. And Donovan last night made his debut with the Redskins. Donovan looked okay. I watched the game. He looked all right. He was 5 for 8, 58 yards, led him on a touchdown drive. There was two plays, that some of the Donovan haters may jump on. I was watching the game, and Donovan had rolled out, had Joey Galloway open. He overthrew him. And, you know, that's a lot of people from Philadelphia really kind of jump on that, his accuracy. And also, there was a situation where he had scrambled for a first down. It looked like Donovan could not get his breath. For whatever reason, the guy couldn't get his breath, and he ended up calling a timeout. Then another thing that some Philadelphia fans tend to remember is, you know, the throwing up in the Super Bowl.
Right. You know, get a little nauseous thinking about it.
But overall, he did lead him on a touchdown drive, albeit a touchdown drive that was helped by a penalty, roughing the passer penalty. But again, he was a guy that he performed okay, and I was impressed with Donovan last night. But you should be, Paul.
I mean,
see what happens as the season progresses. But I'm expecting big things from Donovan. I really am. And I think he's got a lot of football left in him.
But Paul, I mean, in all honesty, on you're expecting big things on that team with that core of receivers. I mean, take Cooley away, and certainly they have. I mean, in the backfield they have. I mean, a stable. What that would at some point, if they can all have good years, not great years, good years, be a major force to be reckoned with. But who do you see, you know, in terms of Donovan's go-to guy? I mean, Cooley is a tight end.
You do have Chris Cooley, who's a hell of a tight end. You still also have Santana Moss, who's a home run hitting, big play type of receiver. And like you said, he has the running backs. But you also have to look at this. In a Mike Shanahan system, they will be running the ball. And with Clinton Portis and Larry Johnson and Willie Parker, there's definitely some decent running backs in the fold for the Washington Redskins. So I think this is going to be a perfect situation for Donovan, and I expect a big year for Donovan. And I've been a guy who's been pushing for the Eagles to keep McNabb. They didn't keep him, obviously, but I thought They should have kept the guy, and he's a guy who has made a ton of plays in his career. But we're now being joined by former Kansas City Chiefs star Bill Moss and 610 Sports Radio contributor in Kansas City, Bill Moss. Bill Moss, how are you, sir?
Good. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Now, Bill, you're there in Kansas City. You follow the Chiefs on a consistent basis. Last night they made their debut. Matt Cassel, Charlie Weiss, Romeo Crennel. Tell us what's going on in Kansas City, because when I look at them last year with Matt Cassel, I wonder if he truly is the answer for the Chiefs.
Well, you know, that's a great question, and I think that's one that the Chiefs, well, I know it's one that the Chiefs are still trying to figure out. When they got here, and I say they, that Pioli came in February, and then they had to wait to bring in Todd Haley. And, you know, to assemble a coaching staff, it was just near impossible because everybody had already filled their positions for the upcoming year. And they didn't know what they had. They didn't get a chance to study the Chiefs. They didn't get a chance to look at the personnel. And they didn't know what they had with Brody Croyle. All they knew that he was an often injured guy. Well, you know, I don't care if you're Superman, you would have been an injured guy playing behind that offensive line they had at that time. So they went with a safety valve, and they brought in a guy he knew and gave him a big contract. But he still hasn't got to that level of a $60 million quarterback yet. And unfortunately, that's how we compare guys when you're a starter and you make that kind of big money. But he's got to elevate his play. He has a long, drawn-out delivery, as you saw last night. If you watch the preseason game, he got the ball batted down with that long windup. He's not overly accurate. And he doesn't make things happen. So they're going to find out by the end of this year what they have in them. And the way the contract is structured is they can get out at the end of this year for a reasonable amount of money.
And so you look at the Chiefs last night. They also they've added Eric Berry, the impressive safety from Tennessee. How's he looked so far?
He's a leader, man. He really is. He does all the right things you'd want out of a safety. He can blitz the line of scrimmage. He can man up on a tight end and be physical with him. He's got great legs. You know, he can roam the field, and he's got that innate ability to just be a born leader. You know, and that's one thing. The whole Chiefs team was missing last year. They need more guys that have that leadership ability, and he's got it. And if you think about the long tradition of safeties, from Gary Barbaro to Daron Cherry to even back during the Super Bowl times, I mean, we've got great DB history with Emmett Thomas going back to the Super Bowl years, and we've always had stellar defensive backs, and I think he's going to fit right along in those lines.
So you were saying, I wanted to get back to the Matt Cassel. I found it interesting. You had mentioned this year will be an out year potentially for the Chiefs, which almost puts them in a season of a crossroads. Is they're trying to find out who they have, and it's a young team, and they have a major investment in their quarterback, and even an 8-8 season or, you know, 9-7 where they may not even get into the playoffs, but if they have some success or if they have another 6-10 or, you know, if they have a bad year, but he has a good year, it seems like for the Chiefs, there could be, it's almost all that pressure building up the vortex and, you know, where is it going to lead them?
Yeah, it is. And here's the thing, guys, you know, I say that about Matt and, you know, if he has a bad year, then they do have an out. But he's a guy that last year, his wide receivers and running backs and anybody who caught the ball led the league in drop passes, okay? And you take those drop passes and make them catches, all of a sudden you look at Matt Cassel in a different light. If that offensive line gets better, gave up a lot of sacks, a lot of pressures, he was hit constantly. If that offensive line gets better and gives him more protection, all of a sudden you look at Matt Cassel in a different light. So if those things happen around him, and he's able to, you know, elevate his play through that. You know, he's a top 15 quarterback. Take away those two things.
So is he possibly just a byproduct of being surrounded with decent players in New England where, you know, he had Randy Moss and the rest of those guys out there, Wes Welker, Was he just a byproduct of that, possibly?
Well, you always are, you know. His quarterback's only as good as the people around him. And you can go with that with any position. But, you know, he's got some weapons this year. They've got a Dwayne Bowe has come back from his offseason, and he's just a new person. He's crossed the bridge into a mature professional. He's really concentrating hard. He's having an outstanding camp, and he's catching all the balls. Dwayne Bowe would normally drop over 50% of the balls thrown to him. He's really focused in. And then you add in Jamal Charles. I mean, electrifying player, dynamic. You can put him in a lot of different roles. And then you bring in Dexter McCluster, and boy, is he just lit up training camp. You know, they say he's too small, but hey, if you're good enough, you're big enough, and this kid is good. And then you have two, three tight end sets, and Jeremy Urban's another guy that's stepping up. There's some guys, he has some weapons, and he didn't have that last year. You know, heck, we didn't even know about Jamal Charles till week 9. Larry Johnson was a starter and, you know, averaging 2.5 yards a carry, not doing much of anything. And, you know, they get into a tiff with the coach and they run him off and there's nobody else left. Everybody was injured. And so here's Jamal Charles, who they didn't think could do it. And he just tore up the second half of the league, you know, the second half of the season, all those yards he put together. So they have playmakers around him. And I expect the Chiefs' offense with Charlie Weiss, every place Charlie's been, his offenses have done well, and he has playmakers, right. And I expect to see that this year.
So where do you see the Chiefs record-wise? I mean, and it's still early, but where do you see them going this season?
Well, here's the thing. If you know, they're a team that under Todd Haley is going to outwork everybody. You know, they are going to be ready to play. And they're also creative. Todd Haley, you know, showed some dynamics in his offenses over with places he's been. And even last year they found ways to make plays with really nothing. He was very creative. Now with Charlie in there, things are going to click. So their defense hasn't come around. They switched to a 34 defense last year because that's what Scott Pioli wanted. That's what he was under with Bill Belichick. That's how Bill Belichick had all his success. But their personnel was made for a 4-3. Derek Johnson is a will linebacker. If you stack him on the outside and let him run the field and use his athletic ability. Now, he's not even starting. He's the inside, weak inside jack backer, and he's not even starting because he there's no place for him to fit. Inside linebacker is a physically demanding position in the 34 defense. You have Glenn Dorsey. He's a three technique, over the guard and an over and under defense where you're just blowing up the B gap. You know, he's not now at 6'1", 290. He's playing right defensive end, and he has to play two-gap and catch a 360-pound offensive tackle. He's not built for that. Tyson Jackson is learning the two-gap and struggling, very difficult. We really don't have a true nose tackle in there, so they're alternating guys through. So the 34 defense has really struggled. They were 31st last year in stopping the run, and I don't know how they're going to improve because they didn't get anybody else. They didn't get a nose tackle. They didn't get an inside linebacker in the draft or in free agency, so it's going to be tough for them to improve. Saying all that, I look at the division and look at Denver. I mean, Denver just seems to be fell apart overnight. With the departure of Shanahan, it just went down the tubes. I mean, who are they going into the season with who? You know, Tim Tebow? Are you kidding me? And then even San Diego. I think their window has closed. You know, they had a lot of talent there. When Marty was there and they're 13-3, it just couldn't get over the hump, and they canned them, and they went to North. They just really haven't taken that step, and now they've lost Jamal Williams, the nose tackle, who was fantastic. They didn't replace him. They lose LaDainian Tomlinson, so they decide to go after a young kid running back in the draft, a kid from San Diego State. Their best offensive lineman is threatening to hold out for 10 weeks. Jackson's threatening to hold out for 10 weeks. You know, to me, I look at the division, and I think the most talented team and a team that could shock people is the Oakland Raiders. You know, they always go Oakland on you and find a way to self-implode, but boy, do they have some talent. I mean, offensively, and they got a quarterback who can make decisions.
You bring up a good team, though, in Oakland, and it's actually an interesting segue, you know, to taking us a little bit around the league. But I do wonder because, you know, Al Davis walks out and he says Jason Campbell really has, in the Raiders' eyes, done very well. And there's a there's a team there that has a tremendous load of talent, not just offensively, but there is some talent on the defense.
You better believe it. Yeah, I mean, and what scared me when I saw the draft and I was watching it, I was like, because I think this guy's just going to be a beast. And I wanted the Chiefs to get him because I just told you about the 34 defense. But Rolando McClain, I said, oh, wow. He's going to be a thorn in Kansas City's side for a number of years. And when he comes into his own, he's just one of those guys that will be memorable.
Now, and going around the league, Donovan McNabb made his debut last night for the Redskins, led him on a touchdown drive. How do you think Donovan will fit in Washington this year?
Well, you know, Donovan just needed a change of scenery. You know, he and Andy have been joined at the hip since they both got there. You know, as a Philadelphia fan, watching him and covering him over the years, I just felt that maybe that Donovan just needed a change of place, a fresh start, because he seemed stale. And he seemed stale and to the point that maybe in the big games when you expect him to take over a game, it just really didn't seem to matter to him. And this is just my opinion. And you know, he'll go through the motions, he'll do all the right things, but there comes a time that, you know, a quarterback of his stature and athletic ability and who he is, when it comes time for him to win a game, he has to win a game. And, you know, you need everybody else around you, but there's times when, hey, you got to shine. You got to come from behind, and you got to be the man. And it just, when he was always, when he fell into those situations, he never succeeded. Never. And, you know, I don't know if Shanahan can get that out of him or not. Shanahan's system is a great system. It's much like what Andy does in the passing concepts of it, but, you know, he gets his own running scheme going, and he's got the backs to do it. So I expect to see them be very productive offensively, and defensively they can be good. I think that, you know, that I see them possibly taking over the East.
Now, I want to go back to McNabb for a second, because I understand what you're saying, but I thought a lot in the early years, there wasn't a lot around him, and I thought Donovan was a guy who made everybody better around him. Now, granted, when he got to the big spot, he didn't do what he needed to do, but he got them there many times. And I just thought, I understand why you're saying it got a little stale, but I just thought that they should have brought him back, and I thought he still has 2 to 3 good years of good football left. I really do believe that.
Yeah, I do too, but you know how tough Philadelphia is, man. You know, they've had a heck of a run there, and they've won a lot of games. But, you know, the Philly fans, they want a Super Bowl. You know, that's what they want. And as long as the two of them are together that long, it would just make things harder for them. So, I hope the best for them, and I hope the best for Andy. I think the Philly fans will be happy with the outcome of the offense. You know, you talk about explosive players. Boy, they got a ton of them, don't they? You know, they got McCoy, LeSean McCoy. They got Jeremy Maclin. They got Selleck at the tight end. Jackson. I mean, yeah, it's just they've got some playmakers. And those guys are all of them are under 25 years old.
And actually, the average team age is about 25 years old. So it's a young team, but it's a young, talented team.
So Bill, I mean, when you looked at the East, and you had just mentioned, you think, you know, the Redskins to a certain degree are front running team. Who else in the East then do you see contending?
Well, I don't see the Giants being as bad as they were last year, but you know they've lost something, and to me it's defensively. Their defense went from a defense that was dominating, and then they could pound you with the run. Well, they lost that pounding you with the run, so it's made the passing game tougher for Eli. The defense isn't taking over games like they once did, and I don't know what they've done in the offseason to improve that. The Dallas Cowboys, I know everybody thinks it, but I don't see it. Everyone thinks that, you know, the Cowboys are, you know, they're one step away, or they're just knocking on the door of the Super Bowl. I don't see it. Matter of fact, I don't see them having the success they had last year, this year, coming year.
And I just don't believe in Tony Romo. I really don't. And I just him and big spots has just not really been a good thing so far in his career. So I agree with you about the Cowboys, but it seems like everybody is saying this team is going to do big things, and I'm hearing Super Bowl with the Cowboys from a lot of people.
Well, you know, Dallas got a lot of fans, and everything's big in Dallas, and I think more time was spent on the stadium maybe than putting that team in a situation to grow.
Well, we had Mike Hill, I think, on 2 or 3 weeks ago, Paul. He said right before the injury to Brian that he sees him going to the Super Bowl. And I think Paul and I, we were shocked. We're, certainly from being from Philadelphia, it was maybe a part of the hometown. But, I agree with you, Bill. I think there's maybe not as much talent on that team as the you know new stadium, the $100 billion stadium and all the amenities in there. Maybe I think those amenities are translating on the field, but there's a lot of question in regards to the overall talent of the Dallas team.
Yeah, you know, and I stick with what I say, that I see improvement in Washington. I see the capability of explosive offense in Philadelphia. The Giants, I told you, they've lost to me what they were all about, and that's defense and a strong running game. And Dallas, I haven't seen them take – I don't think they've taken the steps to become better, a better football team than they were last year. And when you're not getting better in this league, you're going backwards.
Now, Bill, let's switch to the AFC now. And a lot of talk about the New York Jets. They got the Hard Knocks going on. They got the Darrelle Revis situation. I'm a guy who is not truly sold on this team as a Super Bowl contender. I really don't believe in Mark Sanchez. I mean, he didn't have – that great of a rookie season, and I don't know if he's going to take that next step, but I know they definitely have to get Revis if they want to contend, though. So how do you see the AFC shaping up?
Well, you know, I do think the Jets are a good team because, you know, they've got the ingredients you need to get to a Super Bowl. You know, they have an outstanding offensive line and an outstanding defensive front seven, and they'll just wear you down, and you know they can maul you. And Sanchez is really not going to come down to everything about him because it's everything else around them is in place. He's just going to be called upon to make the plays he's supposed to make. That defense is who's going to match up with that defense? I don't see anybody, but I know he's preparing for it because of the combination of defensive backs he got and even the nickel defensive back they drafted. I mean, they are deep. You can't put anybody on the field that can cause matchup problems for them. It's not going to bother them. I mean, they will always have the capability to blitz the quarterback. If you want to go three wide, they're still going to blitz you. You want to go four wide, they're still going to get after you. So, and our front seven is good enough that how else do you attack them? Well, you're not going to knock them off the ball and wear them down. I think this team is built to go to Super Bowl, and the only thing that can stop them from that is the quarterback not doing what he's supposed to do.
And do you think they can do it without Revis? I mean, I think the Revis thing will get taken care of, but let's just say Revis is not there. Do you think they can still make it to the Super Bowl?
No, that'll cause a wrinkle. Revis will be there, you know, and there's not a doubt in my mind.
Yeah,
there's too many good things that have gone on there with the organization, and in Rex's second year, he's done a great job of changing everybody's attitude about the Jets. They're not going to let him, Revis, bring it down. Hey, guys, I got to get going, man.
All right, Bill, thank you for stopping by, sir.
No problem. Good luck with your show. I'll talk to you.
Thank you. Take care.
So he thinks the Revis deal will be done, and I think we were seeing this week. It's interesting. He says that there was certainly a lot of movement, I think, on both party sides to they got past the bickering, and I think they're getting down to really hardcore negotiations.
It'll get done. I mean, they
see it actually being done by the end. I think it'll be done by this time next week. You know, definitely the third preseason game, I see him suiting up for. Because that's really the most important preseason game, and I think he'll be, you know, on the field, maybe not playing, because I don't think majority of these players you know, they feel they really only need one and a half games. So, but I see him on the field there. I think they know it, and he knows it. And you know, you hear all the pundits are saying it, that certainly they can win without Revis, but they're not going to be a juggernaut.
Hey, let's take a caller. Hello, you're on Go For It.
Yeah, I got a question for you guys. It seems like everybody thinks Revis is going to go back except for the Jets organization. It seems like all the talk I hear and everything I read is everybody's opinion is that Revis will show up except for the entire Jets organization. I wanted to know what your take on was that.
Well, I think a lot of it's just negotiation. And in terms of negotiation, sometimes it comes down to that 11th hour. And I think that that's what's going on here. They have both camps have issued a gag order on the negotiations. And the reality of it is, at the end of the day, both of these guys need each other. They need each other. So when the team needs you, and when you need the team, and Darrelle Revis loves football, and he's a guy who wants to get back on the field. So I think they'll get it done. And the guy definitely has to get paid because he's earned it. He is the best corner in the game and possibly the best defensive player in the game. So he's going to get paid, and they'll take care of this stuff. But it may come down to the 11th hour. It may come down to the last preseason game or something, or a few days before the regular season. But who knows? But it'll definitely get done.
Well, yeah, what do you think about his uncle's take on this, and how much influence you think his uncle will have on this? I mean, obviously, I've read stories that his uncle played NFL football, and he was in the same situation his second year. He sat out the entire year,
and his uncle,
I want to see what your
uncle being Sean Gilbert actually. And you're right, Sean Gilbert did do that. He sat out, and he ended up getting paid. He eventually got paid.
Right.
Well, Paul, one way or another. I mean, if he sits out, he doesn't sit out. I mean, Revis is going to get his money. He's still young enough, especially in this league. Still has enough talent that whether he plays or doesn't play, the money will be there. But for any player to miss 1 year, to miss that kind of money, in today's world, it's not necessarily the smart business approach. If he's going to take maybe $7 million less or $5 million less, better to, you know, not sit out and cost himself $5 or $10 million and then come back and get injured.
Right, and you also look at the Leon Washington situation, a guy who played with the Jets last year who was looking to get paid himself, and he ended up going through everything, and he had a bad leg injury, broke his femur, actually. So that's a hard bone to break, and he broke it. And so now he's trying to make a comeback with Seattle, but again, he had his opportunity to get paid, but Revis decided to sit out. Leon Washington decided to go through it and play. And by doing that, he cost himself. And hopefully he'll be able to make a comeback to the NFL and be successful. But we'll see. Definitely we'll see what happens there. But we want to thank you for your call, sir.
Thank you, guys.
So, I mean, it should be interesting to see how the situation shakes out and how everything will work out with this Revis thing. But the guy definitely will come back. I mean, he has to come back. And if you're the Jets and if you have Super Bowl aspirations, Darrell Revis has to come back. And you got to bring him back. And they have to do it. There's just no getting around it. If they want to go to the Super Bowl, they have to do it.
No, I mean, there's no question in terms of being a Super Bowl contender that, you know, they need his abilities on the field. And I think if you're Darrelle Revis in this NFL era, I don't think any player that takes a year off, whether it's for injury or to hold out, is going to necessarily think to themselves that they're going to come back and be the same player regardless of age. I mean, a year being away from that game at that level for 1 year, it's hard to come back, you know, and probably even more so if you're, you know, an injury means that at some level you have some rehab happening. But if you are locked out where he would be, you know, you're just going to be sitting around. And I don't think for any player, especially of his, you know, his stature, that's a good look. To me, they're actually closer than I think a lot of people want to let them believe. I mean, they're talking it's $40 million, and it's all basically guaranteed money stuff. And it's all the back end of the contract. I'm sure they all know because he said he wants the signing bonus and the upfront money to be bigger than, you know, he wants to be the highest paid DB. And I think everyone realizes when he says that, he's going to have to be. So I think a lot of it is semantical where, you know, it's going to be, is it going to be an 8-year deal, a 10-year deal, or a 12-year deal where it's all backloaded and he won't see any of that money?
Yeah, but also I know they've been fighting over the amount of guaranteed money, and that's been kind of a big gripe right now and a big fight between the two parties. The guy deserves it. There's no getting around it. The guy deserves it. I know many say that Nnamdi Asomugha, the corner for the Oakland Raiders, is getting $15 million a year, and a lot of people said that was Raiders paid over market value for Nnamdi in that situation. So, but at the same time, well, that's what the market bears, and if Nnamdi is getting $15 million, Revis has to get more, and he deserves more. The numbers are 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gant@gmail.com. That's goforward.gant@gmail.com. Well, I want to go back to McNabb last night now. And the Redskins, as Bill Moss pointed out, he believes they're a team that can actually win the NFC East. And I think with Mike Shanahan in the mix and a motivated Albert Haynesworth, a motivated Donovan McNabb, and other members on that team, guys, you got Shanahan, you got McNabb, two guys that have a lot to prove. So they're veteran guys, and they have a lot to prove. And that usually means good things. And so, again, it's preseason game number one. But I really think that Donovan and the Redskins – we'll be successful this year. I really do.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm going to wonder, and this is kind of – it's all on topic, off topic, because is this going to be like a weekly is this a new weekly situation here where we're going to always be worried about Donovan and how Donovan does? Because, I mean, he didn't look that good, number one, Paul. He didn't win anything for the Eagles, you know, when it mattered. And number three, and most importantly, this is preseason game number one. I mean, who cares what he looked like? I mean, do you have the song queued up? Do we have the song queued up?
What song?
I'm not going to say the words. I mean, because you know you seem to be echoing that sentiment.
Oh,
I think we have it queued there.
Everybody, say McNabb, everybody. He is the guy. If the Eagles want to fly, everybody say McNabb.
My God, I'm nauseous.
It puts music to my ears.
I think, you know, it is going to be interesting because certainly I think if McNabb had the running backs through the years, don't get me wrong, Westbrook was certainly, you know, he was a great running back for the Eagles organization, but they never had, you know, it was never Westbrook and. Many years, Buckhalter was hurt, and they had a filler guy in Levens for a couple years, but he was way past his prime, and, you know, they certainly didn't have the offensive weapons at the receivers till basically just until last year. They had 1 year with Terrell Owens, and you saw, you know, they went to the Super Bowl that year. So I think for McNabb to be in a team in a situation where and a coach, unlike Reed, who always wanted to pass the ball, where he's now on a team where, you know, Shanahan wants to be, you know, diligent with an offense, not conservative because they certainly are, you know, his teams with Denver made plays and scored points, but he runs a very efficient running offense. You wouldn't know it to look at it. I mean, through the years he's had passing quarterbacks, but he certainly can run the ball.
And, yeah, I mean, and you remember during John Elway's last run, or the last two runs by John Elway to the Super Bowl, the final 2 years of his career, actually, those were Terrell Davis-led teams, and that was a team led by the running game and led by Terrell Davis. So Mike Shanahan, again, has proven throughout his career that he is a guy who is run first, but also a guy who can is a great offensive coordinator and a great coach and a Super Bowl winning coach. And again, he's a guy that has something to prove.
And not to back McNabb, not that I wouldn't want to back him, but I will say, to be in an offense and you know, and to be tied to an offense under Reed, where, I mean, it wasn't pass first, it was pass first, second, and third. I mean, they're passing 60-some percent of the time, and on any quarterback, you know, that takes a toll. Defenses know it. I mean, he knew it. And to be efficient, to be effective when two out of every three times you're passing the ball, it puts a lot of pressure on you. And he did it well. And it will be interesting to watch him go into an offense that was the complete opposite of that.
And, yeah, and it should be interesting how it plays out. But I'm definitely looking forward to seeing how this thing will shake out for Donovan McNabb. And also, in terms of Kevin Cobb, I definitely see a guy, again, like you said, it's preseason and first preseason game of the year, and vanilla defenses and vanilla offenses on both, everything vanilla on both sides. And so, and looking at all that, it's still, again, early. It's still early. But I do think that Kevin Cobb looked sharp, and I think Donovan looked sharp. And like you said, this is going to be a thing that we're going to be going back to on a weekly basis. Who did better, Donovan or Cobb? Cobb or Donovan? And we're going to be looking back at this on a consistent and a weekly basis. And so it should be interesting how who does better? Who does better? And I think what we need to do here is each and every week we need to compare stats and see who had the better week, and ultimately who will have the better year.
Well, I mean,
and
Paul,
so,
if you're going to say it like that, who's going to have a better year? You have to look at a guy overall in terms of just pure statistics. Now, be McNabb for and the reason I just said it, in my opinion, for basically a rookie, you know, in his first starting year. Any quarterback that's going to walk into a mature Andy Reid offense, for a young quarterback like Cobb to walk into such a very mature offensive scheme, and that is exactly what it is, overly complex, extremely mature, pass-centered, pass-centric, then you look at McNabb, where he now is in a run-first offense, not just a run-first offense with three, four top tier running backs, a good offensive line, a great tight end, I'll say sub-average receivers, but a superstar quarterback, it to me is a no-brainer. McNabb is not going to have to put those numbers up that he had to put up with the Eagles strictly because he won't be passing the ball 40 times a game, Paul. You and I both know that. He'll be in the 20s where he was consistently in the high 30s, low 40s with Reed, and that's where Cobb's going to have to be. He's going to be in the 30 range. So if McNabb goes, you know, 13, 14 for 21, you know, that's, for McNabb, I think, very doable. But for Cobb to go 22 out of 34 every week, I don't know, Paul, because I see 2-3 interceptions as not, you know, for him to have an interception or two every other game, it wouldn't be a bad if at his, you know, where he is in terms of being a quarterback. I mean, for you, I think you're going to love it this season because certainly he's going to have a good season.
Well, I'm not going to love it too much because it may come at the expense of my beloved Eagles. So I don't know how much I'm going to have fun with that, but I just thought and think that the guy still has some good football left in him, and I just thought that they should have held on to the guy. I mean, I can sing about it, you know, I can talk about it, but at the end of the day, McNabb's no longer here, and Kevin Cobb is the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think Cobb will have a decent year, I really do.
But who's going to have a better year, Paul?
I'm impressed by his ability, and I think he does have some ability. He's accurate, decent arm, and he can move around the pocket a little bit. He just has good poise, good presence, and I sense a lot of confidence there with that young man. So, I expect Kevin Cobb to have a decent year. I really do. But I do think that McNabb will have a better year. I really do.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I think
McNabb
will have a better year.
And it'll be interesting.
Too, right?
Well, I told you, Paul. I think it's going to be difficult for, as I said, for Cobb in that system to statistically just have a better year. But I think, you know, I'm telling you, I think the Redskins, in terms of a team, will not have a better record than the Eagles. I think the lack of talent on the Redskins is equally to me as reconcilable as Cobb's inexperience. The Redskins don't have a good defense. I don't believe that their receivers, you know, are. McNabb takes a huge hit there. Certainly has a good running game, but again, Paul, I mean, ball control, this is all stuff, too, that's going to be new for McNabb. I think they're actually going to be, in terms of record-wise, right around both teams being, you know, 8-8, and maybe one team will go 10-6 if they're lucky, but I don't see either team, 11-5 or 12-4-ish. I see both teams at 8-8.
So you like the Cowboys to win that division more than likely.
Yeah, but I see this year in the NFC East specifically, and because Bill Moss also said, I think the worst team I actually believe is going to be the Giants. I think they are a team in total crossroads. I think the Cowboys have a chance to really dominate the conference, if you will. But what that conference, to dominate that conference means, I don't think, will be much. If the Eagles have a good year, if they have a great year to me, they're 10-6. Because I think if you're honest with yourself and you look at the Eagles' offense and their defense, this year to last year, there was no major improvement. And their record last year was with a quarterback that arguably has Hall of Fame stats. And if not arguably Hall of Fame stats, certainly a major quarterback in his era. Cobb is none of the above. So they have to take some hit to the record. But the Cowboys, they improved. They're the only team in the conference definitively that, they definitely improved. Sure, the Redskins got McNabb, but again, arguments are going to be made that they got a great quarterback, but they have no receivers to throw to him.
Well, you also, the Redskins do have McNabb, and you talked about teams not improving. I mean, the Packers are a team that some feel will be there. You also have the 49ers that some teams believe, that many believe will also be there as well. And also you have the Vikings. We're looking at the Favre situation. You have to see how that shakes out. But they're a team that possibly will be there. The Falcons, another team that had a team that took a step back last year, but a team that the year before was a playoff team. And so I think the NFC is – I think teams have improved. And I think actually that if you look at the Cowboys – we'll see what happens with Romo. My biggest question mark with him is Romo. And I just don't trust the guy. I haven't trusted the guy. I still won't trust the guy until he proves otherwise. And I think also with San Francisco, you look at Mike Singletary, who came in there and is putting together a decent defense. And hopefully, if you're a 49ers fan, Alex Smith will live up to that number one draft choice. That draft selection by the Niners. So you hope that happens. And then you have to look at the Falcons, who I believe with Matt Ryan and Michael Turner and also Tony Gonzalez and John Abraham on the defensive side of the ball is a team that you have to look out for and a team that also may take that next step. So you have teams that may take steps here, And I disagree with you when you say teams haven't improved, because I think the teams I listed.
No, you misheard me. I said the team NFC East specific teams. No, I think, you know, the conference, the NFC total conference, and I think you hit two major teams, and I think the Packers, even though they didn't add anybody, I don't know if they necessarily needed to add people. And again, the Falcons, I think the entire NFL really should watch out for the Falcons. They were, and they are, a young team, and they certainly have with Gonzalez. He's older, but he's still going to – you know what you're going to get out of him, and I think they are going to be a major player in terms of playoff, in the playoff picture. I don't know about the 49ers so much. I think ultimately they're still a young team. They have long-term quarterback issues, but they certainly under Singletary look like they have a very clear vision.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm not saying that they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I do think it's a team that will surprise some. I really do. And it should be interesting to see how that plays out, but I think they will surprise some people. I really do believe that.
I think the one team that's
go ahead.
I think that what Mosh just—he also said too, you know, the Chargers, and I think a lot lately has been made of them. They certainly have had successful years. Not, you know, they're not in the Super Bowl, but I see them too as a team on the downspin. They don't have, and they haven't had weapons for a while. They've been they're in a poor conference, so certainly, you know, they're getting easy victories, because for at least the last 3 years, the Chiefs and the Raiders are just two. They get four wins right there, and the Broncos have not been that good, so they can split with the Broncos and they have five easy victories. And so, but this year I don't see them getting so many easy victories, and there's a conference over there where you can look at not so much improvement, but there are teams where I think people will be surprised. Baltimore, I mean, a lot is being made. They think Baltimore is going to be good. I kind of look at it at the other hand and say, sure, you know what you're going to get out of defense, but A, let's keep it real. Ed Reed is hurt. You don't know what you're going to get out of him. And certainly, yeah, they have an offense, but I mean, it's never been, a great offense. And they're older, another year older. Ray Lewis is still Ray Lewis, but he's entering what? Him and Brett Favre entered the league together almost. And I mean, but he's playing linebacker and he's given the hits. And so I don't see them as being this contender that everyone keeps talking about.
Yeah. And it depends on Joe Flacco. And I think Joe Flacco, has showed some promise, and a guy who's led his team to the playoffs in two straight seasons. So I think a lot of people are looking at that as well. And Ray Rice is there another year. But I think Ed Reed is going to be missed. I really do. And he's a playmaker, a guy who can score on defense. He's that type of guy, and he's one of their big playmakers. And they're going to miss him. And I think they're going to miss him so much that they may not make the playoffs because of the lack of Ed Reed in the mix. So he's a guy I think that they will miss a lot. They will miss him a whole heck of a lot, definitely.
Yeah, I think that the fact that they're saying, you know, that he'll be coming back and that, you know, I mean, the fact that he's sitting on the sidelines, to me, does not correlate with the fact that he'll be back soon. I just think he's on the sidelines because that's the kind of person he is.
You got to look at it's a hip injury, I mean, and
right.
Safety, you're using your hips a lot. You're definitely using your hips a lot in coverage and everything. So if your hip is bad, that's not a good situation. Nor
oh,
is it fine in a lot of ways.
No, I couldn't agree more. I think, to me, you know, I think it's going to be – this season certainly may be one of those changing of the guards years. I wouldn't be surprised. You may see a lot of good things down in Miami. I think they have, and they're going to have an interesting year. They have some playmakers there, and they have a pretty good defense. But certainly, you know, they have a great overall, in my opinion, they have a great overall offense. I'm looking, I think Miami, Paul, I'm telling you, Miami, you know, they have a lot of talent. Lonnie Brown, and people can say what they want, but they have good running backs. They have
Brandon Marshall.
Marshall is a stud. I mean, they could say what they want in Denver that he may have been a jerk and, you know, he has a big mouth, but that he caught the football.
Definitely, no doubt about it. He's a guy who definitely made a lot of plays. And, you know, we'll see what happens with the Dolphins, but you got to look at the Jets as well. I know Bill Moss is saying that the Jets are talented. They are talented. I just don't think – I'm not too sold on Mark Sanchez being able to make enough plays for them to take that next step. I'm really not too sure about that. And I also think the Patriots, you can't forget about them, and you talked about the Dolphins as well. So I understand, you know, there's talent, and they're on the Jets roster, and they have a young, good coach in Rex Ryan. I understand that. I definitely understand that. But I just think that Mark Sanchez threw 13 touchdowns, had 21 interceptions. In the playoffs, he made just enough plays to beat the Chargers. In the playoffs, he made just enough plays to beat the Bengals. But we'll see if he's able to take that next step. And I'm not too sure he can. I'm really not.
No, I think Sanchez. Well, I told you, Paul. I don't think the problem is necessarily going to be with Sanchez as much as their offense. They lost it. And again, Mike Hill, ESPN, had made a very interesting comment. They lost a really good running back in Thomas Jones, and they ran the ball a lot last year. And sure, they have, you know, a young, talented running back, but a young, talented running back and a proven veteran like Thomas Jones, who really, really carried that offense last year, are two different things. And their defense is going to be good with or without Revis, but the longer they wait to get that guy in camp, and, you know, you never know when you get into camp late, one or two injuries, that team isn't as deep as I think people or those championship teams that you normally see at the end of the year predominantly are extremely deep teams. They have, you know, they have three quality receivers, two quality running backs. I don't know if you can say that about this Giants team. I think they certainly have, you know, quality receiver and a good running back, but not the core group of players across the league. I mean, even, you know, and you, I hate to say this, but you look at Cincinnati, not as a team right there in terms of offense. Say what you want about the age of Terrell, but that's going to be a nasty team.
Yeah, I mean, add Terrell Owens and Ocho Cinco and, you know, Carson Palmer and another year, Cedric Benson, who was a good run, had a great year last year, and I think defensively they're a solid team as well. Their corners are great. A nice secondary out there, Roy Williams at safety. So I think the Bengals will be there, and they're a talented roster. It's a talented roster. Everybody's talking Jets, but I think you need to watch out for those Bengals.
Absolutely.
Bengals.
I mean, so we have
go ahead.
Well, I wanted to remind everyone out there. So we have officially, you know, on today's show, we let you know this will be not just the Save McNabb, you know, off season, but this will be the season of McNabb versus Cobb.
Definitely.
You know, week by week, month by month. Yeah, forget about the Eagles season; it's really about Cobb, and forget about the Redskins season; it's really about McNabb.
We definitely will be charting it every day. We'll chart this and see who will have the better year, Cobb or McNabby. I like to think it's going to be my boy McNabb. But we'll definitely see what happens. We want to thank Bill Moss for calling in. Greatly appreciated. We were expected to be joined by C.J. Miller from Altered Murder. He didn't call in, but hopefully we can get him another time and another day. I just want to thank all you guys for calling and all you guys for listening. Again, you can listen to past shows at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. That's past shows at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. And again, for Jeremy Yesman, this is Paul Gann. Hope you had a great day. See ya.
Bye.